I'm not sure whether, I think it's best without glasses and best without teeth. I may have to take my teeth out because I've got 7 on the top. They were held in by 2 teeth. 1 tooth came out. So it's a bit loose at the moment. We'll see how it goes. Each year we have a theme here at the Day of Renewal. And this year the theme is the power of prayer. And today the subject is prayer for healing and deliverance. Now there are many of you, I'm sure, who pray with people for healing, and some of you, not as many I suppose, who pray for deliverance. Let me say straight away that I think you should all pray for both healing and deliverance. It's a privilege for any Christian to be able to pray for healing and deliverance. How do we know that we should pray for healing and deliverance? Are you going to read the Peter's my 14:12? How do we know? Jesus himself tells us in John 14:12. Yes.
Okay, John 14:12 says, "Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father."
Why did he tack on the phrase at the end, "because I'm going to the Father"? It's because a few verses later on, verse 16, he says,
"And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever."
My version says counselor. It's the Holy Spirit. Now, he's implying that the Holy Spirit will do in us what he did for Jesus. And according to Father Raniero Cantalamessa, I'm sure you know his name, the Pope preacher, in his book called The Holy Spirit in the Life of Jesus, he writes, "It is vitally important, therefore, to find out from the Gospels just what the Holy Spirit prompted Jesus to do during his life on earth, what steps he made him take, what choices. For he is prompting the church to do exactly the same thing now." Does the church do exactly the same thing now? Well, yes and no, but mostly no. When you consider how many places in this country alone do what we'll be doing later on, pray for healing, not that many. So Cantalamessa explains that Jesus' whole life it unfolded under the action of the Holy Spirit. Within this continual presence, however, certain particular moments stand out, and since the Gospels themselves explicitly relate them to the Holy promptings of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, these are the 3 things. The Spirit drives Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted. Mark 1:22, that's what the Bible says. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. Second, the Spirit consecrates Jesus by anointing him to bring glad tidings to the poor. Luke 4:18, part of the quote from Isaiah in the synagogue, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," and so on. "Because it has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." Thirdly, the Spirit makes Jesus exult and say, "I bless you, Father." Luke 10:21. In that, now, I just want to digress for a moment. In Luke 10:21, you got it? Yeah.
It's Jesus rejoices. At that time, at that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you.
Stop. Say that phrase again.
Jesus, at the same time, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit.
Rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. Now, this is one of at least five times that I suggest that Jesus prayed in tongues. When you got the giveaway is exalted or rejoice in the Holy Spirit. Okay. In other words, the Spirit urges Jesus on to struggle against the devil, to preach the gospel, and to pray to the Father and offer himself in sacrifice to him. In the struggle with the devil, Jesus fulfills his kingly mission in that he overthrows the kingdom of Satan and establishes the kingdom of God. Jesus himself said, he just healed a dumb man, and his accusers say, Jesus casts out devils by the prince of devils, Beelzebub. And there's a whole wording after that. Finishes like this: if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. That's Matthew 12:28. If you look at Luke 11:20, he changes the word the Spirit of God to the finger of God. Now, two things. We Catholics have a hymn: Come Holy Ghost Creator, come from thy bright heavenly throne. In the third verse, it mentions sevenfold gifts and the finger of God. That's the Holy Spirit. And my old computer had the sealing of the Sistine Chapel with God the Father and Adam, the creation of Adam. The finger of God, Raku. So Jesus is saying that he himself casts out evil by the Spirit of God, or the finger of God. Now, in all these three things, he performs his fundamental mission as the servant of Yahweh, and I add, as the Messiah, which he received at his baptism when the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove. Now, I want to go back to the phrase, power in prayer. Theme of for this year. It's obvious that the Holy Spirit is the power behind Jesus, who is able to do so many healings and he cast out so many demons. So maybe we have to start asking ourselves, do we know the Holy Spirit? Do we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Do we use the Holy Spirit? Now, I myself was fortunate. In 1998, the year of the Spirit, promulgated by St. John Paul, Pope, I still haven't done the Alpha course, but in 1998, I was asked by the parish in Maidenhead to do the three talks in the middle of the Alpha course for a group that wanted to do the Alpha course. Okay. Who is the Holy Spirit? First one. What does the Holy Spirit do? Second one. How do I receive the Holy Spirit? Third one. Since then, until about 5 years ago, that's about 15 years, so over those 15 years, I have given those same three talks 30 times. I'm beginning to know the Holy Spirit. And I have already been accused of being obsessed by the Holy Spirit. In Pope Francis' Apostolic Exhortatione, he invites all Christians to a renewal in a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, I'm not sure if he says the exact same thing for the Holy Spirit. But he says this: if you will not resist the Holy Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit that makes us free, with the freedom of Jesus, the freedom of the children of God. And he goes on: this is the grace that I wish all of us would ask of the Lord, docility to the Holy Spirit, to the Spirit who comes to us and makes us advance down the path to holiness, the holiness of the church that is so beautiful. Now then, therefore, if we want to use the power of prayer, we just have to start knowing the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? How can I receive the Holy Spirit? So whenever I do a seminar or workshop, I do four sessions. I begin each session with the prayer, "Come Holy Spirit." And I've learned from the Alpha Course that God in action is the Holy Spirit, like the water of the Red Sea. God in action is the Holy Spirit. So our praying for healing and deliverance can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are several ways of praying. Pray by yourself, talk to God, pray with other people, pray in tongues. I want to talk about the laying on of hands. Can you, are you ready for it? 522. Tell you a story. You know the Grail. The Grail is a community of ladies who translate the Psalms that we use at Mass every morning. Christine was a member of the Grail, and she was sent up north to Preston to open a new house, which she did. And while she's up there, she'd been asked to give a talk, a spiritual talk. It's down the motorway, winter time. That evening, it's freezing fog. So whenever Christine drives her car, she prays. This is her prayer that evening: "Lord, I'm going to arrive late. I'll be like a wet rag. I won't be able to give your talk properly. So please take over the driving." And remember, she does not let go of the steering wheel. Yeah. She arrives early, and she's fresh as a daisy. As she's arriving, she's saying, "Lord, you must like driving." And he says, "I do. I never get the chance." So, one of the ways we know that we pray with people, the laying on of hands. Mark 5:22.
"My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live."
Yeah, that's Jairus. Mark 16:18, the end of his gospel, ends up with, says they will pick up serpents. If they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Luke 13:11. "And there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her and said to her, 'Woman, you are freed from your infirmity.' Then he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight, and she praised God." Okay. Sometimes you have a group praying with people. I'm reminded of, some of you may know, East Hendred, near Harwell. Harwell, the name Harwell is in particular. You need to know what it is in this story. I went over to give the Life in the Spirit seminars. And the parish priest, I think he had a double battle name. I think his name was French Mullen. Anybody know, remember East Hendred? No. So he had very dry humour. Now, we prayed in the fifth week for the release of the Spirit in each person. So we prayed in groups, two with one, three with one, and so on. There was one person missing. He was a scientist from Harwell. He came back the next week and said he wanted that prayer which the others had had. So 20 of us stood around him praying. So we prayed a bit, maybe a silence, and the parish priest would say, "Lord, let the boffin out of his coffin." more prayer, another silence. Parish priest would say, "Lord, let his slide rule slide." We were in stitches. Okay. Now then, can you find it? Luke 6:12. How did Jesus pray? I'm going to say a bit more about that in a minute, but in Luke 6:12.
"Now, during those days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God."
The whole night.
"And when day came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles."
Okay. Now, how did he choose the 12 apostles? He went and prayed. He didn't choose by himself. He relied on the Holy Spirit. So he prayed all night. Then he came down and he picked according to what he was given by the Holy Spirit. Right. Now, I could give you 11, 12, 13 quotations from John's Gospel where Jesus says the same as 1249. Jesus says over and over again the same idea.
"The one who rejects me and does not receive my word."
No, that's not that one. Jesus says over and over again, "I haven't come to say what I want to say. I only say what the Father tells me to say." Over and over again. He starts off, for instance, in chapter 4, when he comes to the well with the Samaritan woman, comes to the well, and the disciples go off to get some food. And they come back, and he says, "My food is to do the will of my Father." So Jesus did nothing at all apart from what his Father wanted. How did he find out? It's obviously, he listened. Prayer means a lot of listening. Prayer is not in the head, it's down here in the heart. Some of you know the name Dr. Scott Peck, "The Road Less Traveled." It's called "The Road Less Traveled" because not many people travel it. And the experts will tell you the longest distance in the world is from head to heart. Prayer is in the heart, and that's how Jesus. Can you find John 16:13?
"When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears."
Okay, say it again.
"When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears."
My version says, "He will not speak on his own authority, but only what he hears." So the Spirit is listening as well. Okay. And sometimes it's important to tell people the difference between praying with and praying for. Most people, apart from charismatics, pray for. When somebody says, "Pray for me," they say yes, and they mean, "I'll go home and pray for you." But praying with is different. Praying with means praying immediately with the person. Okay. There's also physical healing. And you've got Damien Stain at Core at Lumen Christi. You'll find him on YouTube, and lots of healings. And the reason he gets lots of healings is because he and his community believe. They have faith. If you don't have faith, no miracles. Just listen to what Jesus himself says in chapter 6. A prophet is not without honour except in his own country, among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could do no mighty work there except he laid his hands on a few people who were ill, and he healed them. And he marvelled at their unbelief. He could not understand how they could not believe. His own townspeople wouldn't believe him. Nothing happens. Now then, God doesn't seem to use me for physical healing. My job in life seems to be two things: teaching people how to go to Jesus to get healing, and helping people to find out who they need to forgive. Now, forgiveness is any important. Unforgiveness is the main block to healing. Right. And after love, after the word love, the most important word is forgiveness. Now, sometimes it's important to tell people about our hurts, because I maintain that most of our hurts were not intended. I'll repeat that because you won't believe it. Most of our hurts were not intended. Some of you won't believe it. Okay. We, all of us, take things the wrong way. And we are all hurt by something said or done which we have taken the wrong way. It happens to all of us all the time. I'll give you a story. There's a gentleman driving along a road like the one outside Dowie Abbey. You haven't got any here in town. The road is narrow, winding with hedges. It's a summer afternoon. Gentleman driving along with the window down. As he goes along, round the bend towards him comes a car almost on his side, and he has to get right into the hedge. And as he goes around the bend, he crashes. No, before that, sorry, I've left him here. He goes right into the hedge. And there's a lady driver coming the other way, and she shouts, "Pig!" And his reaction is to shout, "Cow!" And he goes around the bend, and he crashes into an enormous pig. Now, it's obvious he's taken it the wrong way. She's trying to help him. Now, that happens. That happens all the time. All the time. Okay. Now, some of you may know Sonning Common near Reading. I once gave a talk one Saturday like this. And 2 years later, the parish priest said to me, "Nicholas, can you come back and do that talk again? But it must include the word pig." Okay. Okay. Now, I have two other ways of praying which you can copy if you wish. But before I do so, let me explain that I nearly always start, when a person comes to me, before starting a prayer, I suggest that they make a list of all the people who've hurt them in their life, starting with both parents, siblings, grandparents, uncles and aunties, and in particular, if any of them hurt them a lot. And then they go to school, children's school, if any children hurt them, any teachers, They go to work, anybody at work, anybody hears them. And then I get them to say two lines. Now, I'm not trying to advertise. Can you hold it? Hold it up, please. It happens to be here because Peter brought it along. It's the author is, it happens to be me. And the subtitle is To Set Free Those Who Are Oppressed. That's all I do in life. Okay. And I get these people who have come to me, make a list, and then every person on the list go through two lines, which are in the book, on page 118. Now, if you want to, you may want to write these two lines down. They're very important. The church doesn't teach us how to forgive. I don't know why not. This is the end. Okay. Lord Jesus, I need your gift of forgiveness to forgive X, a name, with your forgiveness. I'll repeat that. Lord Jesus, I need your gift of forgiveness to forgive X with your forgiveness. Second line. Lord Jesus, I need your gift of love to love X with your love. And if you remember a particular hurt in your life, then ask Jesus to go back with you to when the hurt took place. And you say these two lines. That's where the healing comes from. Because forgiveness will do the healing. Now, the church tells us to forgive and to love, doesn't tell us how. People find it very difficult to forgive sometimes. Now, I tell people who find it very difficult to forgive that these two lines will help them because Jesus does it for them. Jesus does the forgiving and the loving through them and for them. So no matter how difficult they find it to forgive, it is possible to do it. Now then, these two lines I made up 40 years ago from a hymn we sing at Dowie. Listen to the first two lines. Forgive our sins as we forgive. You taught us, Lord, to pray. Sound familiar? Where's it come from? Lord's Prayer. Right. Next two lines. But you alone can grant us grace to live the words we say. In other words, we can't do it without your help. So my two lines are, Lord Jesus, I need your gift of forgiveness to forgive X with your forgiveness. I need your gift of love to love X with your love. Miracles happen. And it's true, miracles happen when people forgive. Asking Jesus to help them to forgive. Okay. Now then. Only 2 days ago, I was looking to see what Pope Francis said about the Holy Spirit. And he says, forgiving others requires help from the Holy Spirit. Forgiving those who have caused pain or offence is not easy. Pope says, the Our Father opens a person's heart to forgiving others as God has forgiven them. Forgiving people who have offended us is not easy, he says. So people must pray to the Lord, teach me to forgive as you have forgiven me. And then he says, human strength or will is not enough to be able to forgive. He said, it requires grace from the Holy Spirit. Now, that tells me what I'm teaching is right. We need help from the Holy Spirit to be able to forgive. So my two lines are, Lord Jesus, I need your gift of forgiveness to forgive X with your forgiveness. I need your gift of love to love X with your love. And I will not let the people who are saying these two lines omit the last bit, with your forgiveness, with your love. That's very important. Okay. Right. Now, there's another way I pray, and I call it process. Now, you'll understand if I give you some examples. There's a lady working in the parish. She's worked in the parish for some years, and it's been good. But just recently, there's a new parish priest, and there's a niggle all the time. I asked her, when was the last niggle? 10 days ago, she said. And I said, right, okay. Now, this is the process. I asked them to close their eyes, feel what happened 10 days ago, the niggle, and ask themselves, how old do they feel? And a short pause, she said, it's my mother. I said, what is? Well, when I hear the priest, I hear my mother. And I say, why blame the priest? He's not hurting her. He's called the presenting problem. He brings it out. The mother is the real problem when she's a girl. So if she allows Jesus to heal her by asking Jesus' help in forgiving her mother with his forgiveness, Jesus' forgiveness, and with loving her mother with Jesus' love, to be healed. Okay. Now then, that may sound familiar to many of you. Yes, it's called healing of memories. Okay. Jim came to see me and had a problem. He and his brother are working on the father's estate, waiting for probate, because the father died recently. And they have a sister in America, married to an American. And the American brother-in-law is on the phone to Jim, and he's ranting and raving, saying, why aren't you getting on with this estate? And they can't, they're waiting for probate. Jim says, I feel terrible. Okay, Jim. Now then, just close your eyes. Go back to the phone call. Feel what you felt then. Ask yourself, how old do you feel? Short pause. He says, 6. I said, where are you? At home? School? It's my father. What is? Well, I can't remember the rest. Now, my guess is that at the age of 6, his father said something or did something which was unjust, and it's still stuck in Jim at the age of 40. Okay. So, if Jim asked Jesus for his help in forgiving his father at the age of 6, and asked Jesus to help him to love his father at the age of 6, the problem with the American brother-in-law will go. Okay. Some of you may remember the year 1976. It's often being mentioned nowadays when we have a hot summer. 1976 was a very, very hot summer. I was giving a retreat. In the morning, I was giving talks. In the evening, giving talks. In the afternoon, I was seeing people. And so that morning, I given a talk on healing. So happens. And in the afternoon, 1, 2, 3 people came to see me. And the fourth one came in, and she said to me, Father, do you mind if I turn on the electric fire? I kept a straight face and said, carry on. So she did. We talked about prayer. And she stopped in the middle of a sentence. She suddenly stopped. She said, that brown dress. I said, what brown dress? Well, she said, when I was 8 years old, my mother made me wear this brown dress to go to school in. I hated wearing it. And I wore my coat on top. And I said without thinking, okay, ask Jesus for his gift of forgiveness, his gift of love for your mother, for making you wear this grand dress which you hated. So we carried on talking. 3 months later, she came to see me. And she said, Father, since that day I saw you, I haven't been cold. It's true. He went. Now, we looked back. At the age of 8, she had to have a reason for the teachers and for the children, for herself. Why was she wearing a coat? of his answer, she was cold. So the body went cold. She can't live with a conflict. The body went cold until she found out why. Then there was no reason for the body to be cold. Okay. The next one's a bit horrific. Communion. Again, I was giving a talk on healing at the Day of Renewal, and we'd finished. We just had to say Mass. It was in a school on a Sunday afternoon, and I was vesting for Mass in the teacher's common room. The lady came in and said, "Father, I just need a minute or two. I cannot go down to the altar rails to receive communion without feeling physically ill. Sometimes I can get there, sometimes I can't, but I always feel physically ill." So I said, "Okay, close your eyes. Can you remember anything about the altar rails?" "No." "But when I was a toddler, about two, I was with somebody and they were going to receive communion. They took me down with them, and a lady at the altar rails committed suicide, cut her throat. I gave this child of two a fright. And I said, 'Right, ask Jesus for his gift of forgiveness for that lady who gave you the fright, and his gift of love for that lady who gave you the fright.' I haven't seen her since, but I guarantee she no longer feels physically ill when she receives communion. There's no reason." Okay, so you see, that's one way. I call it the process. And the process is simply, I ask the person to close their eyes and go back to a problem. Ask themselves, how old do they feel? Now, I don't know whether that's... I don't do psychiatry, I don't do psychology. I'm not sure what it is. For me, it's the Holy Spirit bringing back a memory to the person to be healed, that's all. It's another way of praying, which I call proxy. And you may like to do this yourselves. I had a mother whose daughter could have no relationship with a male whatsoever. And my information came from the mother in bits. For instance, mother is driving the daughter to university. And daughter says to the mother, "Daddy spoke to me today." I said, "What do you mean?" "He hasn't spoken to me for 19 years. That's why she could have no relationship with a male. Okay. I sat the mother in a chair. I prayed with the mother for healing as if she were the daughter. I prayed with her as if she were the daughter. It's your prayer for healing. And then she prayed as if she were the daughter, asking Jesus for forgiveness and love for her father, for what he had done." Okay. So then what happens then? Okay, what happens next? Yeah. Within 2 months, she found somebody, they got married, and in my book, there's a baby called Evelyn, who's a miracle baby. So this lady who had no relationship with a male now had a baby, and since then she now has two more. She's got three babies from somebody who could not have a relationship with a male. Okay. That's by proxy. Okay. It may help you to understand that this person, the mother, was healed at Damien Stain's miracle rally, not this last year, the one before. And the younger daughter had been sexually abused by the father. And when I knew her, she was 17 stone. I didn't see her again for years. Mother kept coming to my workshops and telling me, "The daughter keeps losing weight, losing weight." She lost 7 stone in 2 years without trying, just through forgiving her father. Okay, can you see how important forgiveness is? Right. Now, if you have a friend who has a daughter or a son with a problem, then pray with your friend as if she is the son and then get the friend to pray as if she's the son. So the first, you pray with your friend for healing, and then your friend prays as if she were the son, asking Jesus for forgiveness or whatever it is. Miracles. Okay. Don't be frightened to try it. You have my permission. Okay. Now, please remember to be careful when praying with someone not to tell them what the problem is, or even worse, what you think is the reason for the problem. Now, it's very easy for a counsellor, psychiatrist, or a priest to see the answer to a person's problem from what they're saying. Okay. Now, you must not tell the client. The latter must find out for themselves or give the information. Now, look back at the what we had so far. We've had the we haven't had Kay in the water, have we? No, not yet. Okay. Did I mention Kay in the water? No. Kay was a retired head teacher. She came to see me about once a month. Ordinary. No problems. Except one day as she was leaving by the door, she said, "I'm going to the swimming bath to learn to swim." And I expressed surprise. A retired head teacher learning to swim. I said, "Why?" She said, "I always panic in water." I said, "Sit down." She sat down. I said, "Close your eyes. You're in the water, you're panicking. How old do you feel?" Process, okay. She said, 18 months. And I said, "Where are you?" "I'm in the bath, the taps are running, and mummy goes to the front door to let granny in and doesn't come back. So there for me is a very ordinary reason why this child of 18 months is panicking, water getting higher, the taps are running, nobody." Okay. I asked her to forgive, asked Jesus to help her to forgive her mother and her other mother when she's 18 months old in the bath. Okay. At the end of another week, she sent me a letter. She filled four sides of paper. And she'd been to... she'd been going to the swimming baths, and because there's no more room on the paper, she filled four sides explaining what had happened. On the scrap, bit of scrap paper, tucked in with the letter, were the words, "How about this? I swam a length yesterday." A month later, she's teaching old ladies to dive in. She's a retired teacher, teaching old ladies to dive in. And one day, having a cup of coffee with the instructors are saying, "There are people that we are trying to teach to swim who will never be able to swim, no matter what we do, and you're one of them. We can't understand how you can swim." I said, "Well, we prayed." "Oh, fully." Wouldn't believe her. Okay. Right. So it's important not to reveal to the client what you think, because they will fabricate a memory to suit what you just said. I had that very case when I went to a parish in Malvern, and there was a girl about 18 who had accused her father of abusing her, and he hadn't. Now, one of the teachers in the school who had taught the girl said to me, "This girl, if anybody in the class had anything wrong, she always had it." Okay. And I went to visit this girl when she was 20 in the psychiatric ward in the hospital. Now, it's very important not to tell the person what you think the answer is. In each case, Kay gave me the information, she's in the bath. Because when I say close your eyes and how old you feel, the information comes to me from the person. The brown dress, the information came to me from the person. The communion, the information came to me from the person. I didn't suggest to the person what the problem was. I didn't know it. Okay, be careful. Cause of terrible problems. Now, deliverance. whatever I've been saying about up to now, about healing, most of it applies to deliverance as well, with some differences. Right. Everything I've written in my book about deliverance comes from a book by Dom Benedict Heron, Benedictine OSB, called I Saw Satan Fall. They're Jesus' words. And he tells you what a layperson can do. Now, there's a new, this diocese, there's a new commission that bishops have started on healing and deliverance. I'm not certain what this commission is going to allow lay people to do. My first fear was it was about regulations, but I don't know. I've been to one meeting so far, but I'm just hoping that this commission will tell the bishop that lay people can say prayers and deliverance. Many of you do, I'm sure you do. Okay. So I remember the theme of the year is power of prayer, and so the important person is the Holy Spirit, right? Now, if you don't believe in the existence of personified evil, then reading the gospel will make for an uncomfortable reading. The four evangelists show Jesus face to face with the cosmic conflict between good and evil. Jesus had a healing ministry. No, don't worry. Luke 11. Now, he was casting out a demon that was dumb. When the demon had gone out, the dumb man spoke, and the people marveled. And Jesus always driving out demons and setting people free, as he'd promised when he quotes from Isaiah in the synagogue. Okay. Which is the subtitle of my book, To Set Free Those Who Are Oppressed. That seems to be my job. Right. There are many people, Christians as well, who deny the existence of devil and demons, making out that they are a figment of the imagination. I think even priests, even bishops, I think, don't believe in personified evil, the devil. They think it's all in the mind, psychological. Right. Now then, Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the
rulers, against the authorities, yeah, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places."
Right. Now, you do not go into the healing ministry because you want to. You do not, even more, go into the deliverance ministry because you want to. You've got to be pushed by God. And what seems to happen, as I see it normally, you join a group, prayer group, and they pray for healing at the end of the meeting. They pray for deliverance, and you see what they're doing, and you join with them, and you join with them in the healing and the deliverance. And I think that's how most people start praying. You don't just go into the healing ministry on your own. You don't go into the deliverance ministry on your own. It can be dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. But in spite of what I've just said now, listen to the last few words when I finish. There's hope. Okay. Deliverance exists in its own right. I did an article in the Portsmouth People. I did one on deliverance because a priest in Portsmouth, I won't mention his name, I got it wrong the first time. And he told me I got it wrong. Anyway, he wrote a letter. There had been an article in the Portsmouth People about a review with the exorcist to tell you what he did. And this priest waited And then the news, the national news, was a young lad, a teenager, had been murdered. He'd been tortured and murdered by his sister and partner because they thought he had a devil in him. And so the priest wrote a letter, didn't like the idea of what was happening. And his last line was, "This is the remains of medieval superstition." And I said to myself, no way. So I wrote to the editor, told him, no, deliverance, evil does exist. And he wrote back to me and says, "I'm printing your letter because it typifies what so many people have said." So it's in the Portrait of People. Now then, so let's see what deliverance means. There are many types of harmful, bad, evil spirits. Now, I question the use of the word evil because I think most people, when they hear the word evil, they think of one thing, possession by the devil at one end. No, there's a whole gradation, or a whole range from one end to the other. One end is possession by the devil. It's very, very rare. I think it's most uncommon, perhaps 1 in 100 million or so. But evil can be anything between that possession and the other end, small imperfections, or, as I say, habits of smoking. I used to smoke, and I used to say, I can give up any time, and I couldn't. So I was bound. That's an evil. Okay. Now, there are two extremes, possession and smoking. Both of them are evil, but they're both completely different. And it's an analogy. If you say someone is sick, it could be they've got a sore throat or they've got cancer. So you see the difference. You get two ends. They still use the same word, sick. Right. Christ came to set us free. That's the whole purpose of prayer of deliverance, to set people free who are oppressed. Right. The devil attacks the individual, the family, small groups, the nation, the world, the Christian community. And my editor insisted on putting into my book a whole lot more. There are hundreds of wars around the world all the time, and they're mostly being stirred up by the devil. Right. Right. So if someone's experiencing strong temptations or trials of, say, anger, pride, lust, fear, discouragement, alcoholism, depression, addictions, even gambling, I had, especially when there's no apparent cause, there may be some degree of direct demonic attack. When someone has a serious drug problem, a really uncontrollable temper, or is seriously involved in adulterous activity or pornography, worshipping money, gambling, always hypocritical, strongly tempted to suicide, or involved in the occult, there's more than likely some demonic bondage present. The demonic bondage is sometimes called demonic oppression, obsession, or infestation. Now listen to the next bit carefully. The devil has partial control and leaves other parts of the person free. So the person in many ways seems to be good and is good. So it's important to remember the person can be good yet still have something attached to him which he can't get rid of except through prayer. Ordinary measures to counteract the above or measures to avoid getting into such situations are concentrating on Jesus and holiness, prayer, sacraments, praise, repentance, avoid deliberate sin, the Our Father, prayer to Our Lady, read scripture, establish a relationship with the good angels and our guardian angel, with the Christian community, spiritual counselors, holy water, the sign of the cross, crucifixes, holy pictures, medals, and remember, it is Christ who saves, not these objects. I wanted to tell you a story. You know Bill Gates, computers, okay? He dies, goes to heaven. Different story. The devil says to God, I can do things on the computer better than Jesus can. You know the one? So God gives them both a test, the long, an hour's test. And he gives them, as the children, they have to do certain things. And they're doing it happily, and there's a power cut. And the devil screams, oh, it's all gone! And he says to God, it's not fair, it's all gone. What happened to Jesus? And God says, Jesus saves. Computers. Okay. I wanted to give you, I'm not sure if I've got time. Where's Alistair? Time? 5 minutes?
5 minutes, yeah.
Okay.
I think.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah. Ephesians 6:11, 17. You can read it for yourselves. I say a prayer of deliverance, starting with praise. Lord Jesus, put a ring of protection around us with your precious blood to keep us from harm. Holy Michael, Archangel, be our defender. Mary, you're our mother. Be our guide and our protector. And in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, with his power, with his authority, I bind any spirit from doing any harm to whoever, maybe more than one person, or anybody connected with us. And in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, with his power, with his authority, I cast out any spirit of rejection, any spirit of resentment, any spirit of fear, anger, shame, guilt, lack of self-worth, despondency, despair, depression. And sometimes, if necessary, I can add jealousy, hatred, control, domination. And I say to you, spirits, go back to Jesus, to the foot of his cross, to do his will. You don't belong here. Go! I shout. And then I say, Jesus, I ask you to fill John and whoever's with you, myself, with your Holy Spirit. And let your Holy Spirit fill John's heart and mind so that he knows that you're his God and Saviour, you're his Messiah who came to set him free. And I thank you and praise you for setting him free. Now, at the end, you ask the Holy Spirit in, because if you send out spirits, you've got a vacuum. And the vacuum must be filled in, otherwise more spirits will come back. And so the Holy Spirit will fill the vacuum. So you always end by asking the Holy Spirit. Now then, one more thing. Okay, now then, this book, Don Benedict Heaven, I Saw Satan Fall, tells you what you, the lay person, can do. I do it because I've been ordained. I have the power and the authority from Jesus to say, I bind, I cast out, but you can't. So what you say is this. You start with praise, then you ask Jesus to bind any spirit, you ask Jesus to cast out any spirit, and then you ask Jesus to fill all present with your Holy Spirit, and you end the same way. Now, this is my footnote. Although the devil and the demons can give us a difficult time, as they did to Jesus when he's in the wilderness, if you are truly trying to follow Jesus and to trust in him, then you have nothing to fear from the power of the darkness. We read in St. James, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Ephesians, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. St. Paul writes in Romans, I would have you wise as to what is good, and guileless as to what is evil. then the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Now a story. Some of you may know the name of an Anglican priest called Christopher Neil Smith. Years ago, in London, I took a lady to, it was before I got into the, is this too loud? No. Before I got into the deliverance ministry, she came to me. I couldn't do it, so I phoned him. He said, come, bring him. So I took him to London, and he listened to her for an hour. I said, yes, there's something there. Went into his church. He stood behind the altar rails. She knelt at the altar rails. His hands were above, a foot above her head as he prayed. And then he said to me, Nicholas, say a prayer for light. So I said a prayer for light. And then we said goodbye to him. We walked back to the tube station. And on the way, she said to me, when he was praying with me, oh, it was terrible. All dark. Awful. When you prayed, it was lovely. He did all the work. And I said a prayer for light. Because he knew that she trusted me. Okay. Some places need deliverance. My nephew in Newbury had a new house, and his wife complained about bumps in the night. So I went and I blessed the house, and the bumps stopped. Okay. All sorts of stories you hear. Okay. So in truth, Satan and the demons have more to fear from us than we have from them if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and his praises are on our lips, in our hearts. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.